We'll begin with prayer in the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for another wonderful week and many blessings. Lord, bless us to go forward today. Bless every speaker this morning. I know that you'll be with us and help us do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You know, we know God is good, but when you ask him, it helps. When you confess his word and stay in agreement with him.
Well,
it takes your eyes, doesn't it? Yeah. And he's more than motivated. When you look at the book of Jonah, you see how motivated God is to save people that don't even like him. You know, Nineveh was not kind people, but he knew that they would repent, so he was motivated to get Jonah there in time.
Yeah, but Jonah wasn't motivated.
Jonah wasn't
motivated. They had killed a lot of his relatives.
Yeah.
He thought that they should die.
Yeah.
A horrible death because they were so cruel to them.
Yeah, that's right.
He think, they killed auntie. They killed grandma.
Yeah.
You know.
But God used it. That lets us show that no matter what we've done, God can still use it.
Well, the reason God used Jonah so hard because his heart was so messed up. And he had to get him to see something different.
Yeah.
He had to get that junk out of his heart.
Yeah.
You know, it was packed in there because Jonah said they killed a lot of my relatives.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, think about the United States, how we did Germany, how we did Japan. Is that not the love of God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thank God for his wisdom. God's wisdom is great, and I was telling my son about how trusting God, you can have faith in God and not trust God. And when I was explaining it, I said something and learned from it. The Lord does that. You know, when we have faith for something, we heard his word, we believed it and received it. But when he tells us to do something personally, that's the first time we heard it. And sometimes if we don't receive it, we won't have faith to act on it. So faith is very important in trusting God and taking him at his word. But what Mary did, she pondered things in her heart. And because everything was so new to her, but she pondered in her heart and she was in agreement. She trusted God. She trusted the angel. And she remained in agreement with him. Okay, we'll pick up what we left off last week.
I like how she said, be it according to your word.
Yeah.
What you said, what you said, I want it just like what you said.
Mm-hmm. Even though God is as good as he is, that's not easy for people to do that. And but the word helps us do it, and experiences with him help us do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. In chapter 43 and 44, those two chapters show a picture of rebellious people. And this is a precise, Jeremiah chapter 43. We were in 42 last time. And Jeremiah chapter 43. Now, in verse 20 of chapter 42, that's when Jeremiah said, for ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that the Lord our God should say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And that was the statement they made in 42. Now, 43 shows their heart. Now, Jeremiah, they didn't say anything. You know, the last thing they said was, pray for us, and he gave the He gave them what God said. And then he told them what the condition of their heart, because the Lord knew it all along. Verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. That's what the proud men said. And, you know, they stirred up the people against Jeremiah doing that. He said, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Barak the son of Neriah sent thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Now they had a chance to stay in paradise. They had a chance to stay in their own land and not be captive and not go to another country. But they regarded their fears. They were so afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, this is also a picture of the ten virgins. Five had oil in their lamps and five had none, or not much. Well, for them to repent after the order of Jeremiah and the order of the Lord, they would have had to believe God, have the word in their heart instead of fear. And they were caught off guard at a moment that they could have just made a decision. They were one decision away from being tremendously blessed. It's just like people, they, you know, this in these days, the Lord is about to return. And some people still won't get saved. They still want to play with the world, and they won't get saved. They know better. They've heard the word. They know what Jesus came to do. But you have to have his word in your heart in order to agree with God, to go forward. You have to have oil in your lamp. Now they're out. And this is the moment that they need to have the word in their heart. They need to have the love of God in their heart, and they don't have it. So he said to all the people that... Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whether they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. Even men and women and children and the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak the son of Neriah. Now they had been left in Gedaliah's care, but when Gedaliah was warned, he didn't heed, and he got killed, and then they got scattered. So they came into the land of Egypt, verse 7. For they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, thus came they even to Tophanes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tophanes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay, in the brick kiln, which is in the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tophanes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid. And he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them. What they're trusting, he's going to destroy. The witchcraft of Egypt is over. and carry them away captives. He's going to carry them away captives. And he shall array himself in the land of Egypt, and as a shepherd putteth on his garment. He's going to put on the whole land of Egypt. Egypt is going to be him as a shepherd putteth on a garment. He's taking Egypt. Egypt is his. Now, Nebuchadnezzar didn't just prophesy to the Jews.
About the garment.
He put on Egypt. Nebuchadnezzar came and set up his throne, and he put on Egypt as a garment. Egypt was his now. It was under his total control. And he destroyed their gods And before a move of God is done, the Lord always destroys idols. Before any move of God proceed, you have to get rid of the idols that hold you back. Even Nebuchadnezzar, God's servant, did this. He destroyed their libraries and he burned it. He destroyed, he put on Egypt. Egypt was his. He took full control of it. And then it says, he shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of Egypt, of the Egyptians, shall he burn with fire. So he took, Egypt was his. God gave it to him. And Jeremiah, this is not the first time he prophesied this. He had to go to every king. Well, the kings had, their ambassadors came, and Jeremiah prophesied that all their nations would be under Nebuchadnezzar's foot, basically. And they would be made to serve Nebuchadnezzar. And they didn't believe him, but it happened. And now, the same people that took him by force to Egypt, eventually they saw the king come and put his throne exactly where Jeremiah would say. He would say that he would. They knew that nobody escaped to tell Nebuchadnezzar to come do this. He did it of his own free will, according to Jeremiah's prophecy. And they knew that they had missed God. But when whatever we're going to do, what's in our hearts, no matter what it is, the only way to not do what's in our heart, if it's wrong, is to drive it out. And the only way to do what would be right is to put God's word and fill our hearts with God's word. Then we can do what's right. Then we can live by faith and also trust God. But we trust the Lord from what happened in our relationship with him in the past. That's why we trust the Lord. We love him because he first loved us, and we trust him because he was good in our past, and now we trust him in the future. And we do it by faith, which is always now. Yeah. I listened to one of his prophecies. I was going to text it to Mary, but my phone didn't do right. I'm going to text it.
Say that again. Let's talk about that. Faith is always
now. It's always present.
It's always present. It's always now. Does that mean we have to exercise it now, or it's always present now?
Both. From the time you become a Christian, your faith has always been on. It's always lit. It's always up. It's always ready. But trust, we trust the Lord because of he was good to us before, and now we trust him for the future. We're going to do what he say because we trust him. And we access that trust by faith. So whenever the Lord tells me to do something, I immediately mix faith with it so I can secure it, so I can do it by faith. But otherwise, you let it slip or you let it get away from you. Nebuchadnezzar said, the time will change. Well, over time, you change. But you're going to change one way or the other. The way to control it is to mix faith with what God say to you. Mm-hmm. And then you can use the blessing of time. Instead of growing weaker, you grow stronger and more determined and more zealous for the Lord. And we'll pick up in chapter 44 next week. This really shows the heart of the people and their commitment to do whatever it was they had in their heart. Because they did act on it, and they didn't repent. And the Laodicean church was such a mystery to me, because when you love God, you can't think in those terms. Mm-hmm. they're not doing what you would do. They're doing what they would do. And to understand, that's why I said, Lord, what's going on with the Laodicean? Why won't people wake up? They can see the time. They can see the handwriting on the wall, so to speak. And he said, he woke me up and said, they will not repent. And they're just like the people in these chapters. It's an illustration of the Laodicean church. They won't let the world go. They won't let their fears go. They won't let their depression go. You have to let these things, you have to drive it out. Fill your heart with the word and drive out the wrong. And then you're safe. You can do, you do whatever you're supposed to do.
Pastor, I don't know how in order this is, and it's just something coming out there. Because of God's love and his mercy, he gives us his grace.
Yeah.
Because we trust in that grace, we use the vote.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's good.
Because the salvation, the word, all the promises is a grace to us. We didn't pay for it. It was given to us.
Yeah.
But we have to receive it and then use it.
Because of his great love, because we're not puppets on a string.
Mm-hmm. It won't do anything till we mix our faith with it. The just shall live by his faith.
Amen.
And we want it to be God's faith, not it's our faith. He gave us his faith. He gave us his word. And then we receive and make it ours, and we speak it. And we go forward, doing all that's in his heart, and we live from glory to glory after that.
Amen.
That's the only way the revival happens.
Yes.
It's going to happen. People who got rid of the idols, they'll be the ones to run the revival, to speak the things it takes and do the things it takes for the revival.
Is there a bigger difference? I was hearing you sound like you, there's a big difference between faith and trust. Is faith just, or trust, we trust is a verb. Huh. Faith is a noun.
Huh. Trust is a noun. Faith
okay.
is a verb. Trust
faith
is.
Faith is a verb?
Faith
wrong.
Is a verb.
And well, I'm trying to grasp the.
Smith Wigglesworth used to say, faith is an act.
But when it's also a noun, too.
Yeah, it's a thing, but it's active. It's always
yes.
producing.
Yes.
Even if you're in faith, you're in cooperation. And all that you do is from that faith. Faith accesses the word of God. Trust doesn't do it. Trust is believing. Because you believe, you act. When you act, it's faith. That's how you...
Don't try to separate.
Okay.
You'll just have what you need
faith
when you need
is
it.
Faith is substance.
Yeah.
It's just like your title deed. You can say, hey, I own this house. But your title deed is what you would say your substance.
Yeah.
Something that you can prove.
Mm-hmm.
That, hey, I own this house. Or if you're making chicken and dressing, you want it to make chicken and dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, it's not chicken and dressing until you mix it together. Those are just, you got to have the substance.
Yeah.
Faith give you a substance. Faith give you something to say, this is mine.
Mm-hmm. And it comes from the word. It's the word you receive in your heart, that's how we get it. And that's how we grow it.
Faith is the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith come by hearing the word.
Uh-huh.
A process of hearing the
yeah,
word.
Yeah, hearing and hearing.
And hearing your word and hearing you speak it.
Mm-hmm.
Is trust the using of that faith?
Yes, part of it.
Faith is the
That's
using.
That's good. She said something good.
Yeah, faith
is trust is the using of that faith.
Faith is the using of trust. You use your trust. And every time you act, every time you speak, that's your faith because of your trust. Trust is your security.
Mm-hmm.
But faith is how you access it. Faith is how you do something with it.
Just leave it faith. You really totally don't have faith until you get the trust.
See, it's all together.
It's all together. They can't be really separate. Uh-huh. They can be separated, but then they can't be separate.
Yeah, they have different functions and uses.
It all comes together.
Well, mm-hmm. You have hope. I believe this is going to happen. You trust that hope is going to happen, but you got to have that faith to push it.
Yeah.
To see it come to pass,
because
it's the substance.
Well, so you got that. See, hope.
Put it all together. You can't separate.
Hope not always a substance. Hope is that I hope I can.
Yeah.
But faith gives you a substance. It gives you something to work with.
But you can't have faith without hope.
Now, you got to have. You don't have no hope. You ain't going to get
it. That's right.
And you got to trust it's going to happen. So.
Yeah.
Ask God to explain it.
I think she got it.
Got
in one way, it could be like a coin that says, in God we trust.
Yeah.
But when we go spin that coin, there's that faith.
Ooh,
yeah,
there you go.
Perfect.
And we getting.
Say that again, David.
That's good, David.
Liken it to a coin, you know, the coin says in God we trust. But until we go and spend that coin and get what we are believing for or wanting, our faith isn't used in that coin, in that trust, until we spend it.
That's good, David. That's a good.
You can't, really, you can't separate them all. You can't tell me that you got faith if you ain't trusting God.
We believe in their trust.
Amen.
But
I just rest in the
we
Lord.
We just tried to I guess he just tried to separate to get you to see what all faith involves. What all faith involves trust, it involves all that.
When Moses put the staff over the water, the Red Sea divided, he had to do something. And then the Red Sea divided and they walked dry land. Faith always does something, speaks something, you know. He's supposed to speak to the rock that released his, that's faith. He was to release the blessings.
But you don't have to speak it. You just have to sometimes think it. I know I'll get some problems on this. Because there's people.
Y'all digging a deep hole.
There's people that cannot speak.
That's
right.
Yeah, if you're in warfare.
So you're saying if you've got to speak it audible every time, you're saying these people cannot use faith, and that's not true.
Yeah, they still can.
Because Hannah's faith with her Samuel was, she was ignorant.
Good.
She
that's
wasn't
a,
saying anything. But
she
got what she wanted. Well,
she was praying silent.
It wasn't audible.
She wasn't saying it loud enough.
I've heard it say also, they said within themselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you've got a voice in your spirit, too.
Yeah.
You can either activate it through your mind or you can activate through speaking. I think it's probably more powerful. There's people that don't speak.
True.
Well, it's
and they still can access
God
that.
God deals with them according to where they are.
Yeah.
If they don't speak.
But it's better to speak.
He yet hear them. He yet communicate with them.
Yeah,
but he wants you to speak it because he said you got to say it.
Yes.
You know how
they're saying
it, and that's not important, but I'm saying there's other ways to do
it. But see, it's other ways to say it.
Yes, other ways to say it.
So they're saying it, but then they're not saying it like we can because they don't have all of what we have.
Right.
We're talking about a person that cannot speak.
Yeah.
They're still saying it in their mind, or they're saying it with their hands.
Yeah. And it works, you know. When you're under attack, the enemy try to paralyze you.
Listen,
you can't speak. You just
we got to close. This
You can rebuke him in your thoughts, and it leaves, you know. And then you speak with your mouth when you can speak. It works.
Amen to the communion.
Oh, that didn't mean to go so
this
long.
Works too,
all right, 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Our communion is where our victory comes from. All right, dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Bless every speaker. Bless the pastor as he goes forth today. And Lord, I thank you for being with us and helping us to serve you in such a time as this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.